Hi, this is Ken Kennedy, and this is Kenzoid's Autonomous Zone, episode 118 for Tuesday, September 1st, 2015, and part of the 2015 Dog Days of Podcasting Challenge. It's a Tuesday. We're moving on towards Dragon Con. Everybody, I'm excited about that. Not going to talk about the phone. Still busted. I finally drove into my last remaining hope. We don't get super good, like, 4G type coverage at the house, and I hadn't left the house in a couple days or more than going to the grocery store that's half a mile away. And I drove towards Monroe, and I've seen this before. This is basically the same issue that happened to Charlotte's phone, it looks like to me. But I was hoping maybe when I got into like a heavy LTE area that maybe the phone would wake up, notice something. It did not. Now, one of the good things about that is that afterwards I went ahead and once I got home, I ran some errands and I came back to the house at lunchtime this afternoon. And at that point, I turned off the cellular radio. As I suspected, I'm getting much better battery, and unsurprising, because the number one thing, if you went in and looked at the battery, what's the phone trying to do for the past several days? It's trying to connect to cellular service, so that cellular radio is on at maximum strength all the time, trying to get a signal. So I just turned the damn thing off. It wasn't working anyway. That is no longer, anything I have to worry about in my what's using up my battery. So things are much better. So that will probably be good for Dragon Con terms, for example. And the one good thing about my iPhone 5C is like my little backup phone that I'm carrying around, that when I'm not somewhere with Wi-Fi is the Wi-Fi for my regular phone now, iPhones do have good batteries, and so that should work out pretty well. But so we're cruising along; we're not too worried about that. What I thought I'd talk about today was I actually had a couple of responses to some of the Dog Days podcasts that I've been listening to recently. One was Dave Slusher from like yesterday. Yeah, it'd be yesterday. Not the 400th episode, but the one right after it. I listened to Dave and Derek Coward are ahead of everybody else, because I already had them in my podcast feed, or their podcasts were already in my subscription list, and they're set to in Beyond Pod to go basically to the top of the heap. So they're going to the top of everything. And then the other Dog Day stuff comes in right behind it. So Dave and Derek, I'm completely caught up on. Everyone else, I'm several days behind on. So the first one's Dave, and he answered a question from, I think, David Nelson was the guy's name. And David Nelson is not going to hear this probably, because he is most likely listening to the Dog Day or to Evil Genius Chronicles and not the Dog Days podcasting. If you are, it's good. If you're not, sorry, but I just thought I'd throw in my two cents. He asked Dave about advice for first time at Dragon Con stuff. And I'm just kicking in. I mean, Dave did a great job. It was actually most of the things that I would say Dave said. I mean, he's actually been going to Dragon Con. He may not have been there quite as many. We're probably in the ballpark number of years wise. My years start. I started in like the mid 90s. And I've only missed a couple since then. He started a little earlier than me, but he's missed a few lately. We're in the same ballpark. We've both been there many, many years. But I really like the advice that Dave gave, especially a first time person, because a first time thing is, and Dragon Con in particular has, and part of the reason that I wanted to bring something up is because Dave hasn't been in 5 years or so. And Dragon Con was busy 5 years or so, but in the past 5 years, it has gotten crazy. It has gotten, like, year over year, it seems like it gets crazier and crazier. The only thing that has improved in the past few years is pre-registration, which used to be an absolute nightmare. Now, such a nightmare that I actually stopped doing pre-registration probably 6 or 7 years ago. I actually went with the, I'm okay with spending the money and walking in on Thursday, because they open pre-registration on Thursday. The actual con is Friday through Monday, technically. And as Dave mentioned, yes, but it starts Wednesday's the new Thursday. Stuff is going on Wednesday even, and probably there's probably stuff going on today. But there's certainly stuff going on tomorrow that I'm going to miss. I'll be there around lunchtime on Thursday. But not only does pre-registration open on Thursday, but also regular registration opens on Thursday. Regular registration, depending on how early you bought your pre-registration, could be as much as twice, I think. It might even be a little more than twice. I don't know. But many years, you know, 6 years ago, I decided, you know what? It's worth it. I will spend the extra $60 a ticket to not have to stand in that 4 hour line and just walk in and basically fill out my form and walk out again in 15 minutes and be done. Now, what I have heard from multiple people is that in the past few years, pre-registration has gotten much better. They finally switched to a different computer system. They were actually using an IBM System 36, if I remember right, for years, and just not a good system. And they finally switched to, I think, a PC-based thing. And from what I understand, it moves pretty well. But I cannot still see how almost it still wouldn't be worth it to me. I'm considering next year pre-registering, really. I mean, the best deal for pre-registering is you pre-register at Dragon. So, in other words, when you're buying your ticket or you're getting your pre-registration for DragonCon this year, you go ahead and pre-register for next year. That's the absolute best, cheapest deal. I may or may not do this year. I'm not sure. But at some point, I have heard such good things about the pre-registration process improving that I may actually try it again. But for years, it was horrible. And DragonCon, but beyond that, so pre-registration has gotten better. But DragonCon in general has gotten goodness, I hope you can't hear the whining dog that's sitting right next to me wanting me to pay attention to her. Hopefully she's going to be okay. But DragonCon in general, for in particular the super popular stuff, Dave used the example of Shatner and Nimoy, which was a thing in 2008, 2009. Maybe his last year or the year before, somewhere in there, they had a panel together. And I think, is Shatner back this year? I don't remember. I haven't looked at but for the big people, you know, a Shatner Nimoy sort of thing, those panels, those in particular, those level, sweetie, let's not whine. Those level panels, unless, and Dave made an excellent point, if that is the reason you're coming to DragonCon, that's one thing. But if it's not, you are going to spend half of your day. You may very well be in line for this panel for 6 hours. And the panel's cool, but guess what? Especially if you're staying in one of the, quick tip, if you're staying in one of the con hotels, the like main hotels, the Hyatt, the Hilton, the Marriott, the Sheraton, the Westin. I think they have another one now, actually, but those are the main ones downtown. They all on their internal channel, which is like 3 or 4 on their cable. DragonCon takes that over during the con, and for the really big panels, they actually have a pretty good they show it on cable. They show it on the TV within the hotels, and they do a pretty good job of it. So I actually remember the Shatner Nimoy thing in 2008 or 2009. I watched 10 or 15 minutes of that in the room. I think I was in the room either getting something to eat or changing costumes or doing something. And somebody was like, "Oh, that thing's on." And I was like, "Oh, that's cool." We watched 10 or 15 minutes of it. The internal DragonCon channel is actually pretty funny. A number of the people that are involved with it are from, I'm assuming they must be from Cartoon Network. I know there are a number of Cartoon Network people that come for things like Venture Brothers and stuff like that. And they do the the cuts that they do between shows and stuff, they throw up the black screen with the white little comment stuff on it, just like Adult Swim and Cartoon Network does. And pretty funny. I think I've said to people before, I actually work in the building with the Adult Swim people. I work for Turner. I'm in an IT group, but we happen to be in the same building with the Adult Swim people. And that half of the building is very different than our half. Is the further you go into the Adult Swim side of the building, the weirder things get. They're weird. It's just, those people are creative and interesting and different. It's pretty cool. I go back there sometimes. They got video games. They got some crazy weird video games and stuff. But those guys are, they're interesting. And so I assume it's either people from Adult Swim or it's people that are completely inspired by it. But I wouldn't be surprised if it isn't them, because they're all in Atlanta, you know. So, you know, in terms of Dragon Con, huge people like that, I was like, unless that is the thing you absolutely want to do, I'd avoid that stuff. Because you're just going to end up spending most of your day in a line to do that one thing. There are so many other, there are smaller things like the Skeptics Track. I do a lot of stuff in the Hilton on the second floor. It's the Skeptics Track. Electronic Frontier Foundation has their own track. They do cool stuff. There's a space track. There's a science track. There's the podcast track is in that whole same little loop. That's where I tend to hang out. The LAN game, because there's board gaming. Oh, and the board gaming, unless they've changed it this year, for the past several years, board gaming is in the basement of the Hilton. It used to be in the basement of the Hyatt for years and years and years, but about 4 or 5 years ago, it moved to the Hilton, which is where I'm staying this year and have for a few years. Board gaming is in the basement of Hilton. Hilton's a good spot. Hilton Bar, excellent spot. Dave's comment about going to the bar is an excellent spot. I have met several people in the bar of the Hilton, and they've always been super friendly. Like Colonel Ty from the Battlestar Galactica reboot, he was in the Hilton bar last year. Very friendly. He's a super nice guy. Got pictures with him and stuff. It was really fun. Important thing is, if it's the reason that you're coming to the con and you've got to get William Shatner's signature or it's going to ruin it for you, if you want to do that, then do that. But otherwise, there is so much going on. Dragon Con is like 10 cons packed into 5 or 6 different hotels. You know, there's cosplay here. There's gaming here. There's famous people, you know, doing big tracks over here. There's a writing group doing stuff over here. It's just like there is so much stuff going on at Dragon Con. Is that you can pick the things that aren't the absolute tier one craziest stuff. You'll still have an insanely fun time. You'll meet so many cool people and just, you know, wander around and as they put it, gawking at people is so much fun. I mean, I've been doing it since 96 and I still do it every year. I think I mentioned before, that's why I spend my late night evenings on the Hilton or the Hyatt smoking porch. That's because that's the place to be. I loved what Dave said. I thought it was great. One other thing, because I don't remember, Dave hasn't been there in 5 or 6 years. The other thing I was going to mention was one of the advantages in the past few years is the main hotels are the Hyatt, the Marriott, and the Hilton. They're the big three. There's a couple of other con hotels. But those are the big three, and they are one right behind each other, a block behind each other, and you used to have to cross the street to get to each of them. Within the past 5 years or so, there are have a trail, little bridges between each hotel. You don't actually have to go outside. You don't have to get on the street and worry about crossing at the light and all that stuff to get between the three hotels, which does make things much easier. So that is a thing, and I couldn't remember if Dave had been there. They did the one between the Marriott and the Hilton, and then I think the next year they did the one between the Hyatt and the Marriott. The Marriott's kind of in the middle. And there was another way to get between the Hilton and the Marriott, but now it's the Hyatt and the Marriott, but now it's a shorter, much shorter connection. Anyway, so there are movement. You don't have, if there's rain, if anything's bad, you can always stay inside, stay in those three. And that's, those three hotels are 75% of the convention. There's big stuff going on in the Sheraton. Sheraton's biggest thing now is that that's where you go to get your badge. That's where you register. And the Westin has a few interesting things. They have the doctor for the past several years, the Dr. Horrible sing-along has been in the Westin. And there's others, there's definitely stuff going on in the Westin, but the Hilton, the Marriott and the Hyatt are the big three. So, and you can move between them without ever having to go outside. It's pretty awesome. So there you go. That's my addition to Dave's, excellent, cons, you know, advice. Secondly, and I'll try and do this fast because this is way longer than I intended to, but I was listening to Mad Marv, I think on August 27th, was talking about comic books that people are interested in that aren't superheroes. And I was just going to throw in, I mentioned this a few weeks ago, the last time Charlotte and I were together in Atlanta, and we went to Oxford Comics. We are both really enjoying the, in particular, the Archie Horror imprint. So, you know, there's been kind of an Archie reboot and everything. And we're actually looking at the main Archie reboot as well. That's on our list. But the Archie, but those are, we have the very last one of the old one where Archie died. But with the Archie Horror reprint, there's Afterlife with Archie and Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, both which are not what you would think an Archie Horror or Archie Horror, but an Archie comic book would be like. They are pretty darn good horror comics of like the old school kind of horror sort of stuff, but with all the Archie characters. I recommend both of them. We bought as many as we could find because Derek Coward had recommended them on and earlier, I think it was a Dog Days podcast, but he had recommended them. We found a number of them at, I think we started Chilling Adventures of Sabrina at like 3, and we started Afterlife with Archie at maybe 3 or 4. And we bought everything we could find, and they are both on our list. So we were actually going to Dragon Con with, you know, the old classic comics list to try and track down things, flip that I love. I tend to go, you know, historically, because I'm not looking for particular things. I don't really have a list. I'm just looking for old comics that I find interesting. But this year we're going with these Archie Horror imprints in particular in mind. And we're also looking for some of the comics from the Archie reboot. And then one other comic that I would throw in that would be also from Dave Slusher does a comics, I can't remember the name of it. It's a comics podcast, comics review podcast he does for Derek Coward's Liberate Noise network, or Comic Book Noise. Yeah, I don't remember exactly the name of it, but everything that I've heard Dave mention on it, it's been a while since he's done an episode, but everything I've heard on there that I've liked enough to go try has been really good. And in particular, Saga, which is an excellent series, which I bought the first trade. Dave probably reviewed it maybe 2, maybe even 3 years ago. I bought the first trade and really liked it. And then just completely random, as far as I can tell, when we were at Oxford Comics, what, a month ago, and we're looking at comics, I came by, we were looking around, there's also games there, so we were looking at the comics and looking at the games, and at one point I came up to Charlotte, and she was looking at something, she's like, I really like this, and I'm like, she's like, I'd like to read more of this, and I was like, what was it? And it was issue number 1 or 2, I think, maybe it was the first trade. Anyway, it was Saga, and she's like, this is really good, and I'm like, well, you're in luck, I've got that. She's like, really? See, and I've got the first trade of Saga, and I've got, I think, the first two or three trades of Saga on Comixology. So we're reading it. So I've got part of them electronic and part of them in actual paper, but I want to get some more. That's a really, really good, crazy science fiction, really interesting comic. I absolutely love Saga. It's very, very good. Everything I've read so far has been great. So there's a couple of suggestions on that for Mad Marv. So that's more than enough. This is longer than I intended it to be, but I do tend to ramble. So that's Kenzoid's Autonomous Zone. It's at kenzoid.com. And my email address is kkennedy@kenzoid.com. My social media links are all at kenzoid.com. You can leave comments there. You can leave comments on Facebook or Google Plus or anywhere you'd like. The podcast is Creative Commons licensed, attribution, share alike, version 3.0, unported. And we will talk to you again tomorrow. Getting close to DragonCon. Looking forward to seeing everyone there. Take care. Thanks. Bye.